InternationalForecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next half hour, they're going to be the views of Mark Angel, and then we'll, of course, have a period of open lines. But right now, I just want to talk a little bit about what's happening financially. This is the most dramatic financial contraction of all time. And that's what, according to Paul Volcker. And when you look and see what's happened, why Harvard University, which is certainly one of the great universities, they have a massive endowment, you know, I think $250, $270 billion in money. They've lost $80 billion in this last year. The value of their investments are down 30%. Here in California, the California Employees Union, the pension fund, known as affectionately as PERS, they've always done well. They lost 30% this year. Certainly, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway lost about 47% of its investment during this past year. We find out that Craig Kerkorian, he's a 91-year-old billionaire. He lost 71% of the money he had invested in the Ford Motor stock. He had to sell it to protect his investment in MGM, the Mirage there in Las Vegas. And over in Hong Kong, there was a gentleman named Mr. Lee, who is almost the sole owner of the largest phone company there. It was worth $1.4 billion at the beginning of last year. It lost 97% of its value. Across the country, why, and you're looking at China, certainly in Russia, and many of the other countries, key countries, their stock markets are down 50 to 70%. This is one of the greatest catastrophes of all time, and of course it's having a profound impact right here in America on many of our listeners out there who have credit card debt they just can't pay off. And we're going to have Mark Angel talk to you a little bit about what he can do. He has an organization called Help You Out of Debt. Mark, thanks so much for being with us again. Mark, are you there? Oh, there we are. Okay, I didn't push the button. Mark, go ahead, right ahead. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about what you can offer them and how you can help people with credit card debt, if they have a significant credit card debt, how they can actually get out of debt.
Well, basically, Dr. Stan, what we do is we work with people, and especially in today's world, state of California is a good example. The governor just said everybody in the state of California has to take 2 days off a month because they can't afford to pay everybody, otherwise they'll have to have massive layoffs. People's incomes are decreasing, and their credit card bills that they have in that, they're finding harder and harder to keep up with. Credit card companies are raising interest rates, changing terms right and left. And what we're here to do is help those people who have those hardships or have a hard time keeping up with their bills or these exorbitant interest rates, as high as 32%. I mean, that's the latest one I've seen, the highest one so far. where credit card companies are charging 32%, and people just can't keep up with them. They're being enslaved in their credit cards. What we do is we put people into a debt settlement or debt resolution program and have them put money aside, and we get them out from under their credit card debt and be debt-free of that part of their concerns within 18 to 40-some months, depending upon the individual circumstances and the individual that we're working with.
Now, how long does it take to get them out of debt?
Really depends on the individual and what their capacity is, Dr. Stan. Each case is unique. Depending upon what the level of hardship is, income levels, what they can afford, will depend on how long we'll put someone into a program.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Mark Angel talking about the credit card dilemma that so many people face. Well, Mark, you go right ahead and pick up the story.
Yeah, and, you know, basically, I pulled a few headlines out of several newspapers that have been popping over the last couple months. USA Today articles, interest rate cuts, not on credit cards. Why banks are boosting credit card interest rates and fees. Even though the Fed, they have adopted new rules to crack down on the credit card companies, those don't take effect till 18 months from now. So they can do a lot of damage to the average consumer and change the terms as much as they want between now and then before Uncle Sam clamps down on them. More Americans using credit cards to stay afloat than ever before in history. And facing losses on bad loans, banks boost the, you know, credit card rates. This is just to name a few, things. Say goodbye to credit. You know, they're cutting people's credit limits, people can't dip into their home equity because their home equity's been taken away from them because of what the banks did to create this financial fiasco that you talk about so regularly on your program. And what we're here to do is help people mitigate those losses. We generally get results where, we see 40 to 60% reductions in the amount of credit we enter into the programs. And get that for the consumer and get them out of debt in 3 years instead of being a slave to their credit cards if they keep making their minimum payments at 19 and 25 and 30%. They're in it for 30 years and I always use this example when I'm on your program so that people can see how much of a difference is on $25,000 worth of credit at an 18.9% interest rate, and if you only pay back 2% of balance, which is usually the minimum balance, you're going to pay back $97,000 over 30 years. That doesn't seem so bad, but take it a little step further. If you're at 25.9% and you still pay that 2% minimum payment, you pay back over $288,000 in over 30 years. If you ratchet it up just 4% more to 29.9% and only make that minimum payment, you pay back $646,190 over 30 years, and you've got nothing to show for it. So
I think, of course, the usury here is really just totally uncalled for. At one time, it was a function of government to protect people against usury. They've repealed those laws, and, of course, they'll get whatever they can out of people, and it really is totally unfair. So many of the people get trapped into the whole idea of using the credit card and buying, and suddenly when the situation changes, they just have no way logically to get out of debt, and that's where you can help, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely, And the biggest and first step is, number one, recognize you got a problem. Don't think things are going to get better anytime soon. And I don't like to be a naysayer. I'm generally a very upbeat and optimistic person as far as that's concerned.
Hold that thought, Mark. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Mark Angel, and Mark does support Radio Liberty, but we enjoy having him on, and we think he has something to offer to people, and of course, it's a system to get people out of credit card debt. Now, it's really very interesting. Mark was saying that Congress, because the congressmen are really concerned about the people, have passed legislation that are going to limit, of course, the amount of money they can charge on credit card debt, but what they're talking about is not going to come into effect until the year 2010. Why would they pass legislation that wasn't going to go into effect in 2010? Why to make you think that Congress is trying to do something to help you? And they're really not. I mean, they're going right along with the agenda. If you know that people are losing their homes and certainly facing, you know, the destruction of their credit rating and, you know, simply because they can't make the payments on their credit cards, and certainly we have usury as far as the interest rates. Why would you hold off until 2010 before you did anything? Why, you've got to get the suckers to believe we're doing something for you. We're from the government. We're your congressman. We're going to do something a couple of years from now. So go right ahead.
That could be repealed between now and then, too. Right. They could change their mind. You got a new administration coming into office in about 10 days, or less than 10 days here, as far as that. I mean, I've worked in the financial services. I worked inside of banks, Dr. Stan, and for your listeners' benefit, I worked inside of banks physically. I worked as a teller. I worked as a loan officer. I worked as a collector or a trust officer. I worked in many different capacities for close to 30 years of my working career. And I've never in my working career, and I've seen some doozies since the early 70s in through the 90s as far as, but nothing tops the cake of what this is. And there's been on NPR radio, and I'm sure there's a lot of your listeners that listen out there. This is not just you can't just point the fingers at the banks. You have to point the fingers at the government. The government also worked hand in hand to push Mr. Greenspan to drop rates down to where they were like 1%, where the banks could borrow against it free and then lend widely and make money off the spread. And then they just packaged this up and made it all good, and they put some good loans in with some bad loans and so on and so forth, and they just made it worse and worse and worse, to the point where all of these different investment vehicles that they put out there, nobody knows what they really have there. They don't know whether it's a piece of Jan's loan or a piece of Mary's loan or whatever. And so the trust even between the banks and the investment bankers, there is none, because they all have screwed each other. And I hope you allow me to say that. That's the nicest way I can put it.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But there really, of course, has been tremendous misuse of power here in this country and really throughout the world as far as credit is concerned. And all of this is going to lead eventually to dramatic changes in the whole structure of our society. You see, we have so much massive debt out there, there's no way that this can ever be simply all paid off. There's not enough money in the world, and so an awful lot of this is going to go into default, and of course I fear that down the line there'll be runaway inflation with the destruction of the life savings of everybody. Right now we're in a deflationary cycle, though, and of course right now, of course, the whole world economy is contracting, and believe me, this is not localized the United States, although it's all been coordinated through our country, through our Federal Reserve System, which is a privately owned central bank under the control of the international financiers, who are using the power and the financial capacity of the United States to destroy the final financial system throughout the world. And that is my view, and this is not going to end this coming year, and it's not going to end in 2010. It's going to go on for a very long time. But right now, what can you do? And that's the important thing. What can you do to get yourself out of debt? And one of the things you can do is try to get yourself out of credit card debt. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But the only way people are going to survive is to get out of debt, and of course eventually just to tear up the credit cards, because of course they can do nothing but create problems for people. It's so easy to spend money, but then of course when you're spending it, you don't stop and think, well, I'm going to have to pay that back at the end of the month, or we'll put it on the list and we'll pay it off a little at a time. But with exorbitant interest rates like this, why, they can trap you into being never able to get out of it, and you become a debt slave, as it were, a slave to your debt. So our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Mark about the program, now how does it actually work? How do you actually get people out of debt through this program?
Well, essentially we put them into a program where we have them save money. Instead of paying their credit card bills, they put it into debt settlement funds held by a third-party trust company called NoteWorld. We accumulate funds to a point where we can then, after they've gone through their collection processes along the way, make offers somewhere in the months 8, 9, 10, 11, once they're in the program, to start making offers to the various creditors to settle for less than what the original balances were that were they were when they entered into our programs. And we've been doing this for actually going on 8 years in the debt settlement arena, and we're very successful at doing this. And we've settled that with over 3,500 different creditors across the country: American Express, Discover, Citibank, Wells Fargo, Chase Manhattan Bank, a myriad of people, Target, Home Depot. You can probably name them off, and we probably settled that for people. And we can handle basically unsecured debt. Medical collections also can be handled in there as well. And we've been doing it very effectively for our clients for now going on 8 years in the debt settlement industry. And very importantly, the people understand, you know, the people who go into our program, 80% of the people who go into our program, and if they listen to us and follow our instructions, as long as they haven't had any further major calamity as far as deterioration of job or loss of job or something like that, which might change the circumstances, complete our program successfully. And 50% of those people completed in 24 months or less. We may have put them in a 42-month program, but typically either as a result of our negotiation skills or the fact that people start seeing that we can do what we say we do, they start throwing some extra money where they can find it. They'll get a family member to help out, and we get them out from debt in that kind of time frame. So it's a very powerful program, and we do a lot of screening at the beginning and at the end. So when someone exits our program too, Dr. Stan, we ask them, you ever going to use credit cards again? And believe it or not, 90% of those people say, I don't ever want to see a credit card again.
Well, I'll never use
that. They got used to paying cash for it.
Well, I think that's a lot better way to go now. The next question that I would ask is, why would any big credit company, say a Visa or MasterCard or a Chase Manhattan Bank or any of these corporations, Target, why would they want to take less money that's owed to them? I mean, why don't they just hang out there and say, I want all of my money, it's owed me?
Because they got to look good for their stockholders. And then there's certain rules that apply pursuant to the Treasury and the Comptroller Currency's office that they can't keep a debt on their books longer than 180 days before they charge it off. And once they charge it off, then they've got to have additional capital requirements. So it's in their interest to move that debt back either into a positive or get it off their balance sheet so that it doesn't affect their capital requirements and their stock performance. So they're very interested in negotiating. The other reason is what they are going to also want to do is not have people duck and try to file for bankruptcy. And bankruptcy is always an alternative for people, but it's not, with the changes that were made back in 2005, very easy for people to take that avenue any longer. You can't just go in there and file Chapter 7 and wipe out your debt. There's rules on that to say you have to meet certain criteria and they've got all these matrices that you have to fit into. And when they value your property, they don't value it on what you could sell it on the street for today. You know, if you had an auction or open your door up or a garage sale and what you get it for, you have to value it. If you had to go out to the store and buy it today, that's what it's worth to the federal government and in the eyes of the bankruptcy trustees. And there's a section out on my, website called Your Options, and it talks about the various options, which is do nothing. You know, you can file for bankruptcy. Click on bankruptcy. There's very detailed information, including a link out to the Justice Department, a link to, if you want more information, you ever want to know about bankruptcy, it's there. But we have quite a bit of information out on our website related to both Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 for your listeners to take a look at. Or you can call me up on the phone. I'll be happy to kind of give you the short and sweet of it. As far as that's concerned, you can take the credit counseling option, but you know who created the credit counseling businesses? The credit card companies. If you look at the agreement that you sign with the credit counseling, it says, I work for the credit card company and I charge you fees. I don't work for you, I work for the credit card companies to negotiate the debt that they do. So you may be paying them fees, but they're not working on your behalf, they're working on the credit company's behalf. And there's debt settlement companies. I work for my client. I charge a fee for my services, and I work for the client, and I work for their best interest and negotiate with the credit card companies to get the best deal and the most reduced rate that I can on behalf of my clients.
Well, I think that we are seeing the most amazing times, really, of my life, and I've been around for a long time. I lived through the Great Depression back in the 1930s. I can remember you know, the people coming to the door begging for food. And I really fear that we're going to see the same sort of thing again. But people have to get out of debt. Now, how did they change the bankruptcy laws? I think it was about 2005 or 2006 they changed the bankruptcy laws. What did they actually do to make it more difficult? Because they knew it was coming down the line. They obviously knew it was coming down the line. That's why they changed the bankruptcy laws. But what did they do? How did the bankruptcy laws, did they differ from where they were before?
Well, previously you could set up a payment plan or a trust. The Chapter 13 was set up what they considered a reasonable repayment plan for their clients that would work out between them and the creditors. It could be over any long period of time. It might even be able to get them to collapse some of the debt down a little bit. Under the new rules, you know, now you have to devote 100% of your disposable income towards it. And if you've got $50 left over, you know, you can't get into the Chapter 7 mode. Property, like I was talking about, has to be valued at its current value, not what the disposed value is at. This information is out on my website. Under the old rules of Chapter 7, most filers could just choose that type of bankruptcy because that seemed the best for them. Now, you have to qualify to get to Chapter 17, and most of the time you're going to get pushed over into Chapter 13, and you're not going to get any relief on your balances there. And it depends on how high your income is, too. So you have a means test that you have to go through that wasn't out there before. And the only people that are going to get any kind of easing on the bankruptcy rules at all are the people that were involved with any of the hurricane things that are out there. You got to put up money up front. Attorneys don't work for free. They may ask you for a $5,000-$7,000 retainer, and no guarantees on their end as to what the ultimate result can be. As far as that's concerned. And remember, you know, they're working for their interest. They're fee-based and they're a for-profit entity and they're trying to make a living. So, and a lot of people don't have the patience to work with someone. I had one lady recently who called me on the phone and I wished I could have helped her out, but she was getting sound advice from her bankruptcy attorney and people shouldn't be afraid of that word. If that's what makes sense and you can qualify, and you should take that avenue if you can afford to do it. You know, I was on another program last night, and somebody said, well, I just walked away from everything, and the government only has 5 years to file a judgment, and I didn't want to really correct the gentleman. He didn't have his facts correct, but, you know, if they can file and get a judgment for you, that judgment's good for 7 years. A lot can change in 7 years. They can renew it after 7 years, and that's what some of these companies do. They just lay in wait. They see that somebody had a good job in the past, and they know the economy at some point in time may turn around, or this person's going to do it. They'll just lay in wait and lay in wait and lay in wait. And this guy says, "Oh yeah, I just acquired somebody's property. They couldn't afford it, so I moved into their $1 million house. I assume their mortgage. Well, at some point in time, he's going to put that mortgage in his name, and he's going to be the owner of that property. And guess what? Those wonderful people who he thought had forgotten about him are just going to leap right out of the woodwork, file it against this property. And when he goes to sell the property, they'll get their money. So don't think that." You know, there's a lot of people out there that think they're smarter than the credit collection people. Those people have been in the business for a long, long time. They're ruthless. That's one of the reasons, like, when we work with people, we tell them, don't talk to these people. They're ruthless. They use intimidation to do that. You have rights that you can go under that protect you as far as collections are concerned. So how many times people can call you. And once you put them on notice that, you know, everything's got to put in writing, they got to communicate and with your wishes as far as that's concerned. And bottom line is you're not obligated to talk to these people. And we have to coach people, and we're here to coach people through the process. But, you know, for those of you who haven't listened to the program before, our company is Help, the letter U, out of debt.com. That's our website. And our phone number is 866-374-3101. That's 866-374-3101.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Mark Angel. We're talking about the Help You Out of Debt program, which, of course, is designed to help people with credit card debt. And you have to have, what, about $10,000 to qualify for the program?
Well, to qualify for it to make economic sense for all parties involved, Dr. Stan, we don't want to put people into a program where it doesn't make financial sense for them to do it. And that seems to be the threshold where it makes economic sense for both us and for the consumer. And I work very hard with people to make sure that I'm not putting someone in a program that can't afford it. The last thing I want to do is see somebody fail, because if they fail, then I've failed. Because I'm there right with them. My fees are collected right there side by side with these people as we go through in the process and in the beginning stages of this thing for the first 15 or 18 months that they're in the programs, as far as that's concerned. So it's in my interest to make sure that, you know, they succeed, that we have good customer service. If they've got questions or concerns, they can get us on the telephone. We can, you know, coach them.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Mark. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Mark Angel. We're talking about the Help You Out of Debt program. And why don't you go ahead, get your website out and your telephone number again, Mark?
It's help, H-E-L-P, the letter U, out of debt.com, or help, Y-O-U, out of debt.com. That'll get you to us also. That'll get us to the website. Our toll-free number, 866-374-3101. And the phone call's free, as well as the initial discussions are free. Until you enter the program, I'm going to sit there. You all have to do is send me your credit card statements. There's a budget form on my website that you can pull and fill out. Or if you need help with that, we'll work with you on the phone. It's a free confidential analysis, and so don't be afraid to call us. It costs you nothing to talk to me about your situation. But the worst thing that you can do is not talk at all. Whether you talk to me, whether you go to the pastor of your church or the minister of your church or whatever, talk to someone about your situation, because these times and people's debt play such a role on their mental health, their physical health, their if you have a partner or if you have a spouse. It's so important that you get these things aligned, because it can cause so much friction. And I can't tell you, I've been there myself. And when I was there, these types of programs were there. I had a former wife that twice ran my credit cards up over $100,000. And fortunately, I had equity in my home. I was able to work some things down, and we had some good fortune because of a family member helped us out later on. But I can't tell you the stress that credit can put on you in a relationship, your health, what you're thinking, your family. You get irritable. Take care of it. Talk to somebody. There's ways that you can get help, and there's ways that you can advance. If I can't help you, I'm going to point you in a direction. I only strictly do the credit card side of the business, but if you're struggling with your mortgage, sometimes I work with some other companies that do these loan modifications, and we'll work together to see if we can't lessen the monthly outlay or burden that people have. And the banks are working with people, despite what they may tell people on the phone. They're really trying to put pressure on people to get every last nickel out of them that they can. But there are programs out there to help people, and we're out here to help people. I can't tell you enough, we're here to help everybody out.
All right, fine. Well, if you have a question or comment, why give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think we're going to see more and more people having more and more problems in the coming months. And you at least need to know what you can do as far as your credit card debt is concerned. But the important thing is, stop buying things that you don't need, and don't suddenly figure, well, I'll buy this or that on credit, and do not buy it unless you've got the money to get it. I mean, this is the way it was when I was growing up. We didn't buy things on credit. You had the only thing you ever bought on credit was your house, and you didn't buy your car on credit. You didn't buy your clothes on credit. You didn't buy your computer on credit, because we didn't have computers at that time. But, I mean, basically people realized the dangers of debt. But all those lessons have been forgotten. We've lived in a utopian society created by a fiat money system, and now the day of reckoning is coming. And we're going to see millions of people, millions of Americans wiped out. Basically, one in every five loans in the United States today is underwater. 10 million Americans, other than 50 million Americans who have home mortgages, 10 million of them are simply behind on their payments or facing foreclosure. And millions have already lost their homes. We've got Paul calling from Arizona. Hi, Paul. Do you have a quick question for our guest?
Yes, I have some outlying debt. It was from when I owned a condominium, and we had earthquake insurance, and of course the earthquake occurred. And so my job was to borrow the $13,000 from the government. Then, of course, they stopped work. I lost the condo, and I'm stuck with the bill. What would be a convincing argument? I've been thinking about calling Aurora Loan, who's got the loan now. and trying to make a deal with them, what kind of a deal would they go for?
It's really hard to say. They're going to ask you for information, just like I would ask you for information about your income and your budget, that kind of situation. They'd want you to demonstrate a hardship of some sort. Is Aurora Loan doing it, or is it a collection agency that's doing it for them?
Well,
for
I'm
the
still paying my $64 a month to Aurora Loan forever.
Okay.
And
okay.
I wondered if I could call them and say, okay, I'll pay you off at $500 a month for 5 months, which is $5,000 now.
It's hard to say because you are current with the debt that they would even talk to you until you got behind on it, sir, most likely.
I could arrange that.
It sounds like they created a program to allow you to pay it back, but until such time that you started to go default on it, that would be the time that they might negotiate with you.
Should I default on purpose?
I can't tell you to do that, sir.
All right, fine. Thanks very much for calling.
All right, thank
you. God bless. Bye-bye. And a lot of people are out there having real problems. Well, Mark, I want to thank you so much for being with us. One more time, your telephone number?
866-374-3101. The call is free. The consultation is free. Just give us a call. We'll be happy to talk to you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call, and we'll be glad, of course, to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. But right now, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that the current economic crisis did not happen by accident. I believe it was all carefully planned. This is carefully coordinated. And if you, of course, look at the membership affiliations of the people who created the current economic crisis, whether it would be certainly Alan Greenspan, who's a member of the Trilateral Commission, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, an attendee at many of the Bilderberger meetings, or Henry Paulson, who's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and a regular attendee at the Bilderberger meetings, or Ben Bernanke, who is a regular attendee of the Bilderberger meetings, or the people who are going to be coming in, of course, to address the issue. One of them is Mr. Tim Gaither, and Tim Gaither is the current president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City. He's one of the primary architects of our failed policy. And what is his job going to be in the new administration? Why, Tim Gaither is going to be the Secretary of the Treasury. And he, being a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberger, and the Group of 30, is going to work with Lawrence Summers, who is, of course, a member of the Group of 30 and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and attends Bilderberger meetings. And they're going to work with, of course, a senior representative, the chairman of the Group of 30, Paul Volcker, who is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, attended Bilderberger meetings regularly. And Paul Volcker, of course, is the former president of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission and the permanent chairman of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. Remember, there's only 120 of these in the entire North America, only 120 members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. And yet two of those are going to be, you know, the primary advisors to the incoming president. And all three of them, Larry Summers, Tim Gaither, and, of course, Paul Volcker, come from the Group of 30, a group of economists who really run the economics of the world. And, of course, you have to understand that of the Group of 30, six of them come from the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. How could 120 people have such a profound influence over our way of life, over our government, over every aspect of what's going on today? Well, when you, Chris, you look at the people in the State Department, you'll understand, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, this is the time when we need to ask you if you'd like to call. Our number is 1-800-259-5791. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY for the second hour. And if you have a question or comment on what's going on, give us a call. But, of course, if you certainly reading what Paul Volcker says, he's saying this is a different a recession, a different financial contraction we've ever seen before. And of course it's a different financial contraction. It has all been created. They intentionally created the housing bubble. Then they created the oil bubble. Now they're creating the bond bubble. And the biggest bubble of all is going to be the derivative bubble. And when that derivative bubble comes down, the whole house of cards collapses. The subprime lending bubble probably would not amount to more than maybe half to three quarters of $1 trillion. The Alt A, or the so-called pick a pay housing bubble, which is going to come due this year, is probably going to be maybe $1 trillion or $2 trillion at the most. But the granddaddy of all the bubbles is going to be the derivative bubble. And the derivatives are uninsured insurance policies or covered insurance policies. There are no reserves for these insurance policies. And they have written them on all sorts of financial transactions. And the figure varies, depending upon who you go to, between $500 trillion and $1 quadrillion of derivatives that are out there. Nobody knows where they are. But when these come tumbling down, why, it's going to topple the whole financial house of cards. And this was well known, of course, that derivatives were going to create a terrible problem. Sir Julian Hodge, who is, of course, a British financier, a Welsh financier, said, "In no circumstances enter the derivative trading market without first agreeing with me in writing as that sometime in the future it could bring the world financial system to its knees." Let me repeat that quotation from Julian Hodge. You'll find it in my syllabus on the financial tsunami. "In no circumstances enter the derivative trading market without first agreeing it in writing with me at some time in the future. It could bring down the world's financial systems to its knees." And Warren Buffett had written about the derivatives. He said, "We view them as time bombs, both for the parties that deal in them and the economic system. In our view, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction, carrying dangers that, while now latent, are potentially lethal." And, of course, you have to understand that they knew exactly what was going to happen with the derivatives. And yet, of course, Alan Greenspan, a member of the Trilateral Commission, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a member of the Bilderbergers, Alan Greenspan, during his tenure as the chairman of the Federal Reserve System, was actively encouraging financial institutions to take out the derivative contracts, uninsured insurance policies. Who in their right mind would take out an insurance policy when the insurance company didn't have any reserves to back it up? That's exactly what the derivatives were. We can thank Mr. Paulson for that. In 2004, he took a delegation of bankers to Washington, D.C. and lobbied the SEC and got them to be willing to go along to let them write hundreds of trillions of dollars of derivative contracts and make vast fortunes. After all, Mr. Paulson's personal fortune is valued about $800 million. But Mr. Paulson and the other bankers got the SEC to agree to let them write these derivative contracts, hundreds of trillions of dollars of derivative contracts, without any reserves behind them. And when this whole house of cards comes doubling down, it'll be like nothing that the world has ever seen. And it is specifically designed to bring down the world financial system. Why would they want to bring down the world financial system? Because they want to change the structure of the world. The elite, who, of course, there's only about 5,000 of them. They're in the Trilateral Commission, the Group of 30, the Bilderbergers, and the Council on Foreign Relations. There are less than 5,000 in all those organizations, and their ultimate goal is to bring about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world currency, and, of course, the one-world religion, because, of course, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces, powerful occult forces. This has always been the plan, and, of course, it wouldn't do any good just to bring down the American economic system, because then the rest of the world economy would survive. No, these people want to control the whole world. You really need, of course, to read my December newsletter. It'll be out, hopefully, before very long. Read what Barry Goldwater said about how the purpose of the Trilateral Commission, he was writing in 1979, was to gain control of the financial and commercial system so that they would be able to take, first of all, control of the government of the United States. And then they want to dominate the whole world, and that they're the ones who are going to rule the future. Certainly they openly say, Barry Goldwater says, that the ideas of individual freedom will not exist in this future that they're going to create. Now remember, he is writing, about 29 years ago? Barry Goldwater writing in 1979, he died in 1998, but he prophesied exactly what's coming on down the road today. The Trilateral Commission controlled successive administrations. They controlled the Carter administration. Remember, there's only about 120 members of the Trilateral Commission, and 30 of them were in Jimmy Carter's administration. He himself was a member. His vice president was a member. They controlled the Reagan administration. President Reagan, if you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, David Rockefeller will tell you that President Reagan invited the members of the Trilateral Commission into the White House for special meetings. Ronald Reagan had run against the Trilateral Commission. He'd gone on public, saying, Jimmy Carter's administration is controlled by the Trilateralists. It's a terrible thing. And, of course, what did Ronald Reagan do? He surrounded himself with people from the Trilateral Commission, people like Caspar Weinberger and George Herbert Walker Bush, and then he invites them into the White House. Politicians say one thing, and then they do another. And then, of course, we had the Clinton administration. Bill Clinton was a member of the Trilateral Commission, had his people in key positions, certainly in the second Bush administration. Dick Cheney came from the Trilateral Commission, and so many of the people in key positions come from the Trilateral Commission. And in my December newsletter, we simply talk about 13 key appointments in the Obama administration. And of those 13, well, actually 12, because Bill Richardson dropped out, of those 12, five are either members of the Trilateral Commission, the sixth, Hillary Clinton, her husband's a member of the Trilateral Commission. With 120 people in the in the entire North American hemisphere at the Trilateral Commission, doesn't it bother you that they would have that much representation? And then what about the State Department? Well, now the appointments of the State Department are coming out. The man who is the Deputy Secretary of State is a man named James Steinberg. And, of course, he is the man who will run the State Department when Hillary is off gallivanting around the world. And James Steinberg just happens to come from the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, there are four other members of the, we know of eight people are going to be appointed to the State Department. And all those names will be in my January newsletter. And of those, I believe that there are five who are going to be, at least four are going to be members of the Trilateral Commission. Mr. Haas will be there, and there will be two others, and then James Steinberg. It's either four or five of the eight people who are going to be in the State Department in key positions coming from the Trilateral Commission. Now, that's different than the other list I just gave you of the 12 the major appointments of President Obama. The Trilateral Commission is going to have 12, 15 people. There are only 120 people in all, and they're going to dominate the Obama administration just as they dominated the first Bush administration, the second Bush administration, the Clinton administration, the Reagan administration, the Carter administration. A small group of people control our government, and that's exactly what Barry Goldwater said in his 1979 book, With No Apologies. Their goal is to gain control of the government of the United States. And, of course, you want the page. Why, well, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And we'll be glad to send you the pages of the book, from Barry Goldwater's book. Probably the best source of information on the Trilateral Commission is our good friend Pat Wood, The August Review. The August Review, you can go on his website, you can read the books that he and Professor Sutton wrote back in 1979, talking about the Trilateral Commission. I believe they're up on the Internet, the Trilaterals over Washington, Part 1 and Part 2. But if a small group of people really control our government and have made mockery of this idea of democratic elections, why doesn't the media tell us? And very simply, because the media is controlled by people from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and certainly the Group of 30. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Do you know how they have created this whole house of cards? First of all, the housing bubble, they knew very well it was going to collapse. Well, how do we know that? Well, a man named Mr. Ed Gramlich, Gramlich, a member of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, kept telling it, Alan Greenspan, you know, at the meetings of the Federal Reserve, that the predatory lending practices were going to result in a collapse of the housing market, and ultimately that would drag down our whole financial system. He said this many times, and this is all in the minutes of the Federal Reserve. In fact, Leslie Stahl, when she interviewed Alan Greenspan, about 4 or 5 months ago, Alan Greenspan was saying why nobody could know what was going to happen. And Leslie Stahl said, well, of course they knew what was going to happen. Mr. Gramlich had said this repeatedly in the minutes. I've read the minutes. And Alan Greenspan, who is one of the smoothest liars you've ever seen, I mean, you have to listen to his testimony, he began to stammer on 60 Minutes. Leslie Stahl had found him in a lie. He knew what was going to happen. There was another fellow, Woolsey, I think was his name. He came from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, and he was on the Open Market Committee, and he was telling them that the housing market was going to collapse. But now we know that all of the state attorney generals, all 50 of them, were well aware of the predatory lending practices that were going to destroy the economic system of this country. And a man named Elliot Spitzer, remember Elliot Spitzer? He was the former governor of the state of New York. And he wrote an article in February, I think February 18th of 2008, talking about how all the state attorney generals wanted to intervene and stop the predatory lending practices, the unfair lending practices that were going on. If you had a pulse or you were breathing, you could get a loan that they knew you would never be able to turn to pay off. In fact, Thomas Friedman described what was going on. He said, and this quoted in our December newsletter, comes out of the New York Times, he said, what do you call a program where you take a man who's earning $14,000 a year, and you sell him a home that's worth $775,000 with no money down and no payments for 2 years, and you take his mortgage and you bundle it with a lot of other mortgages, and then you get a Moody or Standard & Poor to give it a AAA rating, and then you sell those bonds, those housing bonds throughout the world. He called that a Ponzi scheme, and it is a Ponzi scheme, and they knew what was happening. Well, Elliot Spitzer knew what was going on too, and he tried in the article in February 18th of last year in the Washington Post to let the public know what was going on, and immediately his phone was tapped, and 3 weeks later the FBI announced that Elliot Spitzer had committed a terrible federal crime. He was cavorting with a prostitute. Now, I don't excuse cavorting with a prostitute, but prostitution is not a federal crime. So why did the FBI leak this story? Why they wanted to destroy Spitzer's career? Spitzer pointed out that all the state attorney generals wanted to intervene and stop the predatory lending practices that were going to destroy our financial system, and the Bush administration intervened and blocked the state attorney general's effort. And as a result, we see the cascading collapse, of those housing bonds here in this country, but also throughout the world, because, you see, this program is designed to destroy the financial system of the whole world. We've got to bring this whole thing down. And then, of course, so many of the companies that bought these, of course, subprime mortgages and the pick-and-pay mortgages, the all-day mortgages, 2 million of those are going to go down this coming year. They're not telling you about that, but we've just started this whole cascade of financial failures. But so many of the people who bought these faulty home mortgages got derivatives with them, insurance policies, so that if something defaulted, that they'd get their money. but they didn't know that there was no money behind the derivatives. And as they begin to default, of course, why then the whole system comes down. There are at least $500 trillion of derivatives out there that are going to come cascading down. Some people estimate it maybe as high as $1 trillion. Well, we've got Rory calling from Watsonville. Hi, Rory. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Dr. Stan. And yourself?
I'm doing just real well. I appreciate you calling in. We have really open lines. We've got to have people call in. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, kind of a question and a comment. You know, I've listened to you for years.
I know you have.
And I know there's demonic forces at work in the world. There's no question about it. I mean, it's history. It's the story of history, we know. But I will think of this country that we were given so much in the way of God's blessing that we became fat, dumb, and happy. And we got to a point where we believed the lie that, you know, the guy making $14,000 a year could buy a house, or you know, the bank wants to lend you 110% of the value of your house. I mean, I heard those ads on the radio, you know, day in and day out, week in and week out. My point is, and I wanted to see what you think, we became a very craven and wicked people that bought the lies. I mean, yes, the guys, the wicked people at the top of these organizations are pushing it, but they wouldn't have a product if the American people said, no, not going to do it.
But the thing is that what they were going to do is tell you what the price of houses is going to keep going up. We'll give you 110% on this, and then, of course, the house will appreciate in value. And people were foolish enough to believe this because they don't understand we are living in a fraudulent make-believe world. Of course, the fraudulent paper system without anything behind our currency. This whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down now, and most people are going to be wiped out financially before this is over, tragically.
I agree, and I think that, you know, when the Lord said he hates the false balance, he meant it. And in a craven way, went after this, and now we're paying the piper. And it takes two to tango. A lot of people bought the lie because they became, and they're very craven and wicked.
Well, you know, greed, we're really mobilized by two things, energized by two things, greed and fear. And greed is what created the problem and why people bought things they couldn't afford. And now fear is beginning to send in. And that leads to paralysis. And hang on there, we'll be back in just a moment, Rory. Rory, go right ahead.
Yes. The other thing is, you look at the price of housing, it was bid up by a double income lie. You know, you can have a family and both parents can work and you can have it all, and, you know, you go out after that home. Well, that effectively bid up the cost of a house. And then you made money easy. That again bid up the cost of a house. I mean, it was a spiraling up, and we're going to see it unravel. We're watching it unravel. I guess my point is, if the American people, by and large, had been of a more righteous mentality and heart, we would have avoided this. We wouldn't be here. So we're being punished, Dr. Stan. We're reaping what we've sown to.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that God is going to bring a terrible financial judgment on this country, and I fear that, of course, it's going to end up with another war, because this is what they always do, of course, when they get this going. But, of course, there's spiritual forces that really want to destroy America because we were once a Christian nation. But I believe God is going to allow these things to happen. Because, of course, there's no instance in all history where a nation has turned against God, where God has not eventually withdrawn his support from that nation, the only hope we really have. And what I keep praying for is that we're going to have a spiritual revival in this country. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But we have to try. This is all we can do, Rory.
I agree. And the other thing is that God has never not punished a nation that practices human sacrifice, and that's exactly what abortion is. And we've been going at it since, what, 73, 74, in an earnest way. And God won't be mocked. And the blood of those innocent babies cry out to him every day. So I'm concerned.
I agree with you totally, Rory. We're in for some very difficult times, and the people who think this is going to be over this year or next year, or that Obama is going to be able to do something, Obama is simply going to carry out the directions that he gets from the people who put him in office, and unfortunately. And, of course, the change he's going to bring is a change for the worse.
Yeah, and I appreciate your voice out there. Keep letting us in on the little tidbits along the way.
I appreciate so much you calling. And how are all the 9 children doing?
You know, they're thriving. They're doing well. We just, I always make a little comment to parents. Be careful what those little eyes see. And we've walled off a lot of poisonous media that would try to get at our children's heart. You just got to guard them and protect them. And then when they're older, they'll know how to make the right decision.
Are you homeschooling?
Yes, we're still homeschooling the youngest 4.
All right, fine. Well, God bless. And always good to hear from you, Rory.
All right. God bless you, Dr.
Stan. Bye-bye. Of course, that was Rory calling from the Watsonville area. Of course, that's Rory with 9 children. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoyed my monologue. Of course, we always appreciate when you call in, because when we do have open lines, of course, we depend upon those of you in the listening audience to participate so that we can have a two-way conversation. That's what Talk Radio is about. But this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and in a position to help, and I know many of you aren't, but if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our 4 best tapes or CDs every month and get our newsletter. You can subscribe to our newsletter. Or you can certainly get the products that we have. If you haven't laid in a supply of long-term food, why you need to do that. If you don't have a Berkey water filter, why you need to have one of those. You ought to have a supply of health products on hand, those that you need to keep up your immunity, and certainly large doses of vitamin D and Calibiotics, a wonderful product to boost the immune system. We have, if you could want our catalog, we'd be glad to send you a free catalog that describes so many of the products we carry. But you, anyway, go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get a catalog, call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand the spiritual battle, you need to get my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and of course the syllabus that goes with that. My talk on the Planned Police State, and the syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, we have a couple of wonderful DVDs that very professionally done. One's called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, going into the occult organizations that were here when America was created. The second in the series is called Riddles in Stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital, because, you see, the occultists were here well over 200 years ago, laying out our nation's capital, and the dream has always been that the United States would lead the whole world into this one world government. We have a great DVD called The Emergence, my talk that was given by Constance Cumpy. Another talk called The Atlantis Connection, because, of course, America was to become Lost Atlantis and lead the world into this one world system. And that's Chris Pinto's. We have a 4 tape set by Constance Cumpy called The Aquarian Conspiracy. There's so much material out here available to Radio Liberty to explain the true spiritual nature of the battle that's going on. We have, of course, all of our the CDs for the conference we had on October 26th, and you'll certainly want to hear Joanna Michelson, who is a medium who is deeply involved with the other dimension and the beings from the other dimension, and the spiritual beings. And, of course, her talk here at the conference, you can get it by itself, or as a part of the whole set of the talks that were given that day. And then, of course, we do hope many of you will want to get Joanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. We have a 4 tape set with 2 hours of my interviews with Joanna. And, of course, it's called The Supernatural. And you need, of course, to get our 4 tape set or 4 CD set on satanic crimes, on Satanism and deliverance. we have so much information that you need to get so you can understand what is really going on in the world today. If you're interested in UFOs, why, of course, we have a wonderful four-tape set put out by, pardon me, a wonderful DVD put out by Bob Fletcher on, of course, the alien objects. He thinks, of course, they're coming from another dimension, from another galaxy. I think that they're satanic manifestations. I think that so much of what's going on today are manifestations of the supernatural.